right. Well, I hope everyone had a nice lunch and was able to catch up with friends and colleagues who we haven't seen in the past year or so. I think we can go ahead and get started with the afternoon session. We have a packed agenda, even more packed than the morning agenda. Thrilled to have our afternoon keynote speaker in just a few minutes. I want to remind everyone of the roundtable discussion. So from 3 to 4 p.m. in the dining area next door, there'll be a few tables that are set up, which in the areas that we talked about a little bit earlier, the impact trial, updates on the enhanced observational study, Q&A for prospective MPOG sites, and then Q&A for sites that are interested in joining the PROSPER study. And then a few of us will also be floating around to talk about other items as well, specifically areas on the quality side that we may not get to in the next few minutes. A few of us will be hanging around, and as questions and thoughts and ideas and feedback come up, we'll be there to discuss and collaborate with you all. So what I'd like to do in the next 10 minutes or so is do a brief walkthrough of where we've come in the last year in terms of MPOG QI. And we'll just start with looking at some of the commitments that we made last year in terms of measure build. And so last year, about this time, we talked a little bit about plans for 2018, and we had mentioned building measures, building out our transfer of care measure suites, adding pediatric PONVs, replacing CARDS 01 with CARDS 02, adding an informational measure on PEEP, and then adding a measure related to beta blockers and CABG for our QCDR program. And I think largely we were able to do most of that. On the transfer of care and the PONV and CARDS 02 have been released. Genevieve is back home at the farm building the PEEP measure right now, and that should be released in a couple of weeks. And we sort of intentionally decided to hold off on building the perioperative beta blocker for CABG surgery for the QCDR program because we're planning on not continuing QCDR in 2019. We also, in January, for those of you that remember, and a big thank you to those of you that actually filled out our survey in January, we asked our quality champions, we asked all of our sites, what were the areas that they were most interested in MPOG QI working on through 2018 and 2019? And these are just the top five areas, PONV and PACU, opioid administration, alternative thresholds for hypotension, alternative hyperglycemia threshold and time periods, largely extending the amount of time that we measure hyperglycemia to include the pre-op holding and the PACU area, and also to dovetail specific hyperglycemia thresholds with ones that you all are using in your respective sites. And then also to start reporting back on PACU pain information. And so for that, I think we have a little ways to go to meet the feedback from the surveys. And I think shaded in yellow, you can see it's largely related to the ability for us to obtain PACU data. And we've started dipping our toes, as some of you know. I want to thank the pilot sites, those that are starting to send some PACU data. But I think the bulk of these measures, which are related to data outside the immediate intraoperative period, we'll need to have some data extending before and after anesthesia start and anesthesia end. And I think, as most of you know, that's going to be a big focus for us in 2019. We did come up with an opioid administration measure, and you'll learn a little bit more about that in a little bit later this afternoon from Douglas. And regarding intraoperative hypotension, I think together we'll sort of figure out in the coming months how we want to start to build measures with alternative intraoperative hypotension thresholds, that is looking at means higher than 55, and also maybe looking at alternative mechanisms for measuring hypotension. So instead of a straight number of minutes or cumulative minutes, looking at processes like area under the curve and other mechanisms for deciding what is hypotension and what isn't. So all taken together, we now have close to 24 measures on the Aspire dashboard, which I think is an impressive accomplishment that says a lot about this group and how the Aspire Quality Committee works together. But it also, as most of you know, contributes a little bit to measure bloat, and that is it's tough at times to actually get through all these measures, to actually do any work on it. And so we know we need to do a little bit of work on two things, maybe trimming measures to the ones that are most relevant for each site, and also, importantly, retiring measures. And so I'm pleased to announce that, as many of you know, Cardzo One is out to pasture, enjoying life on a beach, sipping margaritas. I hope Cardzo One isn't the only measure which gets to retire. One thing that I think has always been a focus for us, or has been our intent, is to release measures and to retire measures that are no longer applicable. So Cardzo One was the first one. We built a process in place to retire measures. My hope and intent is that additional measures get retired as they no longer become relevant. We released MQuark this past year. As many, some of you know, MQuark is MPOG's audit tool. Think of it as REDCap for MPOG. It allows us to build surveys and audits that quality improvement personnel at each of your sites can use to audit things that may not be able to be gleaned from the medical record, like the quality of a handover. There have been several sites, mainly our state of Michigan Aspire sites, that have used MQuark to audit handovers, PACU handovers, and we want to thank all of those sites for participating in it. And our hope is that next year additional sites will start to use MQuark. There's a version of MQuark that can be linked with your hospital's operating room schedule. There's another version, one that I suspect most of you will use, which can link it back to an MPOG case ID. So you can start to tie its handover information with the rest of the data that you have in the MPOG database. We released our second toolkit. Sachin briefly touched on this early this morning when he talked about the state of MPOG. Our first toolkit, which was the lung protective tidal volume, lung protective ventilation toolkit. Our second one, perioperative transfusion stewardship, created by our quality team led by Katie Bueller, spent a tremendous amount of time combing the literature, interviewing many of you as to best practices and standards of care at your hospital, conferring with many of the other statewide surgical collaborative institutions that exist in the state of Michigan, seeing what their transfusion practices are by specialty, and really, I think, put together a really comprehensive, evidence-based toolkit that all sites can use, whether academic or community hospital, to start to think about transfusion practices and to start to figure out how our existing transfusion measures meet those practices or maybe need to be revised to accommodate some of the best available evidence. And so the toolkit is up for downloading on our website. We hope many of you take a look at that and give us some feedback on how you think that we could modify to make it more effective. Our monthly email provider feedback continues to grow. As of last month, I think we had 3,100 providers, anesthesia providers, residents, anesthesiologists, CRNAs across the country receiving monthly provider feedback that links with the actual intraoperative case. That has grown steadily over the last few years. It's pretty much a machine that churns on its own now with a little bit of input from our technical folks. We continue to see sites that are interested in monthly feedback. For sites that don't contribute on a monthly basis but can still contribute on a regular basis, like quarterly, for example, we are also going to provide a program where we can send emails on a quarterly basis for those that are unable to submit more frequently. And this program continues to grow. I suspect that we'll continue to have monthly feedback for the foreseeable future. I want to spend a minute talking a little bit about our Aspire Quality Committee meeting. Meetings are monthly WebEx meetings. You know, as most of you know, traditionally that have joined this meeting over the last few years, traditionally, it was very informal discussions. Voting was, hey, does this sound good or not good? The agenda was largely driven by the coordinating center. And we've, I think, largely pivoted now. We have more and more QI stories, so it's sites talking to other sites. We've started dipping our toes into some formal processes for approving measure updates and, importantly, for retiring measures. We're trying to still strike that balance between staying nimble and being able to make a decision quickly, but also acknowledge that now we're 40 or 50 institutions. That call regularly has 50 people on it, and you know, how do we also acknowledge that growth as well? And so that's kind of the line that we're trying to straddle. But I suspect that we'll see more and more formal processes relating to measure updates and retiring measures in the coming months and years. A quick note on QCDR and MOCA, two programs that we started over the last couple of years. As most of you know, QCDR pay for performance or payment differentiation for anesthesia providers, CMS program. We decided to axe it for next year. Lots of, I think, really good reasons for doing so. We know that the sites that have used our QCR program will be affected by this. We hope that it won't be too drastic an impact. But certainly we feel that there was a disconnect between improvement in patient care and the QCR program. And so to allow us to stay true to our mission, our focus, we are planning on nixing that starting in 2019. We are planning on continuing MOCA. We have a great partnership with the American Board of Anesthesiology. We had 175 providers now who are taking advantage of using their monthly provider feedback emails as MOCA Part 2, 25 credits for MOCA. It overlaps perfectly with our QI measures. And honestly, it's not the huge amount of effort to maintain that program as it has been for QCDR. And so plan is to continue MOCA and nix QCDR. And then finally, some challenges and opportunities ahead. We've heard from you through the measure surveys, through conversations that we've had, through our research collaborators that we need to extend the amount, the data from being beyond intraoperative data to include pre-op, PACU, floor and ICU potentially, and as we heard this morning, patient-reported outcomes and patient data as well. That will, I think, continue to be our biggest challenge and opportunity. Some nuts and bolts: improving data direct, so making data direct a go-to tool for quality improvement. For those of you that use it now, understand some of its limitations. We think we have a great plan for the rest of this year and next year to enhance our data direct query and cohort identification tool and to be able to make it an integral tool for quality improvement. And then, what's next for the QI mission? I think, some really amazing talks this morning about how moving beyond data, dashboards, emails, what is the next thing that we do? And don't pretend to have the answer here in front of you, but listening to you guys, maybe thinking together about, what's the next big step for quality improvement within MPOG. And that's, I think, what I'd love to hear from you guys over the coming months and years. So I want to close with that. I want to thank you for your attention. We'll be around afterward to discuss any of these topics or anything else related to MPOG's QI mission from about 3 to 4 o'clock. And so we'll be roaming around over there along with the roundtable discussions.